So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
And a good Saturday morning to you. This one happens to be the 10th of January, and it also happens to be 19 degrees now in the Twin Cities' brand new temp. And let's say good morning to Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, good morning to you. I know she's there. I know she's there. Trust me. I know she's there. I spoke with her. I don't think it was anything I said.
Mary, your mic may be muted.
Okay. All right, because I know we were talking. And Mary, you can unmute your mic. It's kind of an alliteration there. But in the meantime, while Mary is unmuting her mic, let me give you our phone number, which also happens to be our text number. We're already getting Lawn and Garden texts as we speak. 651-461-9226. Either a phone call or a text. Did we get Mary yet?
How about now? Can you
hear
yes.
me?
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, I love technology.
Yes, in live
happy
reading.
Happy New Year, Denny. Great to talk with you about gardening for a whole nother year ahead
of
us.
A whole nother year. Absolutely. And I mention it every week during the winter season that, yes, 52 weeks a year we talk lawns and gardens. And people, not necessarily master gardeners, people love gardening. I still say it. And I learned this years ago that gardening is the number one leisure time activity in the United States, above all sports.
Oh, wow.
Participating or not. I mean, that's huge.
We understand that as gardeners, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're getting questions. In fact, we'll talk, you know, we talk about this time of year about seed catalogs. And I'm looking, Mary, at a text that came in this morning a few minutes ago. I heard us mention seed catalogs. Are there still companies, Texter wants to know, offering paper versions?
Yes, there are. And you can request these. They can mail you a seed catalog. And if you order from a catalog, it's very likely they will send you one the next year. So yes, they still do make them, but I think they're much more limited on mailing them out. But
yeah, that's good.
They're out there. Mm-hmm.
So many things are online these days, and for good reason. But yeah, that's good to know. Are you a reader of seed catalogs?
I am. I look at seed catalogs. Seed catalogs really like to push what's new. And so they often, the front cover or the first few pages will talk about what's new, new vegetables, new flower varieties. And it is fun to try those. Occasionally I try one of those, but I usually go for specific varieties that have been tried and true varieties. And sometimes those are hard to buy in local garden centers. So if you have favorites or a specific one you want to try, that's why many people turn to the seed catalogs, because they have the huge variety.
All right, very good. Let's grab a phone call, Mary. Dan is calling in from Clear Lake, I believe. Hi, Dan. Good morning. What is your question?
Good morning, Denny. Good morning, Mary. Happy spring and winter.
Yes, both.
So my question has to do with that specifically. I understand that the best time to prune trees, and what I have is I've got fruit trees, apples, apricots, plums, peaches, pears, and cherries, is in January or February timeframe. Based on the warming conditions, is that a concern now? And that's my first question. The second question is I also have oak wilt in my yard. And in the past, I've cut down the tree to where I've left 15 feet of the tree in place so that I could draw raise clematises and morning glories up the side of the tree. Does that perpetuate the oak wilt disease? I'll listen to you both. Thank you.
All right, Dan, thanks.
Oh, good question, Dan. So in answer to your first question, yeah, the fruit trees, we do the commercial folks are going to be out there doing the pruning now in the winter, kind of late winter, so February, March, maybe April in Minnesota. But when the plant is totally dormant in the winter time, late winter is usually when it's done. I don't think that has changed that much. It's probably, if anything, it will alleviate the month of April, so you, and maybe part of March. So late January, February will be prime time for pruning the fruit trees. You can see the whole branch structure better, and the tree is dormant. And yes, that's a good time to do it. And as far as the oak wilt goes, you know, I think you said you leave 15 feet of that tree. Yeah, that's, I would not do that. You know, the oak wilt is unfortunately a common disease, but it lives in oaks. And if you have had it, you know you've had it, and you have a portion of that plant there, that's just not a good idea. So I would recommend getting rid of that. If you have a clematis on it, maybe you want to think about planting something different to grow the clematis on. But yeah, I would get rid of that.
I know, Mary, that you, as far as a specialty, and you're a specialty in a lot of different areas. But, you know, one thing we haven't, I wanted to talk about one of these shows, are grasses. What we as homeowners can plant around our landscape as far as various types of grasses. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so there's a lot more interest in growing grasses, and these are the grasses that you don't cut. And I've been privileged to work at the Arboretum, where we have a big grass collection that you can see. And it's interesting to see it this time of year with the hoarfrost on it, and what plants stand up in winter, and how they look in the wintertime. So we do a burn on that collection in early spring, or cut back some of the plants. But it grows from the base each year. But in the wintertime, a lot of grasses are interesting to look at, and they create movement and some cover for wildlife in the landscape. And there are a lot of native grasses, little blue stem, yellow prairie grass, the prairie drop seed, lots of different native ones, different sizes. Many of them tolerate dry conditions. Most of them like full sun. But there's a lot of native grasses you can choose from, and you can see them out at the Arboretum. And of course, if you want to take a hike through the snow, you can see them any time of year.
Oh, it's such a great place to do that any time of the year, like you said. What about viewing pictures and more commentary on the university's website?
Oh, yes, definitely do that. And the Arboretum's website has the collections, and it has pictures of all the different plant collections that are out there, the grasses, the daylilies, the dahlias, all the different plants. Our pine and grass collections are the ones that have national accreditation with national standards from the American Public Garden Association. So those are our big collections, but there are lilacs and, of course, the crabapples that people know about. So there are pictures about all of these. And we have maps at the Arboretum that if you have a specific plant that you want to look up little blue stem, you can put that into the map plant finder map on the Arboretum's website. And you can see where little blue stem is planted throughout the Arboretum. And then the university website, extension.umn.edu, is where the plant finder is. That's the big database where you can look up what plants should you plant under which conditions, or if you want, you know, Dan, who called earlier, he wants to decide what other tree to put in where his oak was. You can go on that database and you can put in large tree, and if you want fall color, or if you want berries or other attributes on it, you can see what selections will come out of that database. And that's at extension.umn.edu.
Just a great site. Yeah, check it out if you have not done so. And we'd love to hear from you with any kind of a lawn or garden question you have for Mary. Call us or text us. If you want to chat with Mary, great. Same number for either, 651-461-9226. We're off to a quick break and be right back with more Smart Garden here on a Saturday morning on News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you're just joining us, good morning. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering any kind of a lawn or garden question that may be on your mind this morning. We'd love to hear from you. Either call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Well, Mary, here we are, brand new year. It's the 10th of January. What can we talk about coming here in the new year?
Yes, for gardeners. I was reading an article about, this is from one of the British magazines, but it was 25 things we learned from 2025 as far as gardening goes. And that was really interesting. So you can think about, what did I learn from last year? Of course, what do I want to do this year with a resolution? Or what do I not want to do? Anything you want to change in not doing in your garden. But I think a lot of what we hear a lot of today are plants with a purpose. Not only a plant that looks good, but it does something for the environment, like it's a pollinator plant, it feeds Lepidopter, feeds caterpillars and so on, or has berries for birds, contributes to a loss of erosion with the grasses, with their big root systems, etc., things like that. So plants with a purpose is much more interest today. And we also have this concept of keystone plants, which is these are plants that are really important that help mostly Lepidoptera, mostly the butterflies. But there are amazing keystone plants, oaks, willows, birch, support huge numbers of Lepidoptera, which in turn give us, of course, butterflies, but also create food for birds and the wildlife that we'd love to see. So thinking about keystone plants, maybe a compost pile, taking care of water on your landscape, those are some timely things for this coming year.
Now, that's a great idea. In fact, it's something that I kind of thought to myself a couple of months ago. I thought this coming year, plants with a purpose. I think it's a great phrase, first of all, for that very thing, that those critters that we need so badly. So that's a great idea. I think that's a great New Year's resolution right there. We may have more here, but I want to grab a phone call from Dave calling in from Wyoming. I believe it's Wyoming, Minnesota. Dave, good morning. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Yes, I've got a bunch of Wigalia shrubs in front that bloomed perfectly last summer, you know, early summer. And then once they got done blooming, it's almost like the leaves started drying up, falling off, and then they would re-leaf, and then as soon as the leaves got to a certain point, they would dry up again and fall off. Is this something that I will experience again this year? And how do I go about dealing with this?
Interesting, Dave. So Wigalia, that's one of our quite reliable flowering shrubs, quite hardy for Minnesota. There's quite a collection of those out at the Arboretum that you can see, but they flower in the springtime, early summer, as you said. And the fact that they bloomed is a good sign, showing that they were healthy enough to set blooms. But the leaves drying and falling off is not a good sign. So the first thing I would think about is really our erratic rainfall conditions of really a lot of rain and then no rain. So the erratic wet and dry. So I would consider watering them, and you don't have to water them every day or anything like that, but I would really pay attention to the water, the amount of water that they get. And check that out. The other thing you could do is see about mulching around them, so that after you do water, make sure that it's the soil does stay moist so that they're not totally drying out.
All right, very good. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And that's the way it works. You can phone in your question or you can send a text, 651-461-9226. Great show. Thank you. From a texter, any tips? Texter wants to know, Mary, on dormant seeding when we start to see grass or bare ground this spring.
Yes, you can do that. And I think probably some of our listeners have got bare ground, although
yes.
It might be covered with a layer of ice. You know, I heard Mark Seely say the other day that we had a record, some areas had record rainfall for January, because the precipitation that we normally get would be snow now, but to have it be 2 inches of rain in January, the ground is frozen. It's just going to have a block of ice on top. If it's on top of the snow, it doesn't hurt the plants. But if it's right on the ground on top of the plants, that is really difficult. It's difficult for turf grass to survive being encased in a block of ice. But if you have soil, exposed soil or exposed lawn areas, you can dormant seed anytime through the winter. The only concern is erosion and rain coming to then move the seed somewhere else. So if you have open areas, you can put down seed. If it might erode, you want to think about putting some type of a mulch like straw or some type of a blanket that you can buy at garden centers that will hold the seed there.
Strange weather, rain.
When
you think about
strange.
Heavy rain,
yeah.
Record-breaking rain. It's just very strange. Just to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and we do tend to get busy, so I would urge you to call or text right now as soon as you think of something, 651-461-9226. Mary, we're going to break for that weather forecast. I just want to remind our listeners, coming along next hour, filling in for Andy Lindis will be the Lindis deck expert, deck and port specialist, Luke Panic, who's been on the show, of course, quite often. So if, especially this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, if you have any deck questions or ports questions, he's your guy. So we'll talk more about that next hour. In the meantime, any lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Weather's next here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, from the U of M, Mary Meyer, answering those lawn and garden questions for you at the usual number, 651-461-9226. Mary, let's talk a little bit about deadlines. What are we speaking for specifically for deadlines?
Yeah, January deadlines for gardeners, really?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
What's that about?
So the ProHort class, now this is the class offered by the University of Minnesota Extension. This is the Master Gardener class for people who do not want to volunteer. You can still learn what the Master Gardeners learn with the ProHort class. The deadline has been extended through January 11th, which is tomorrow, right? The 11th.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So if you want information about that, you can find that at the Arboretum's website, arboretum.umn.edu. That's the ProHort class. This is all online. So self-paced online learning for, you can learn what the Master Gardeners do and not volunteer. And then January 14th, which is, I don't know, is that Wednesday? That's one day coming up now this week.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday is the deadline for the Garden in a Box with the Hort Society. You know, our Minnesota Horticulture Society is 160 years old this year. This is the society that started the Arboretum, also started the apple breeding program that has outgrown the Hort Society by leaps and bounds. But they offer community raised beds. And they're free for if you have a school or a community that wants to start a garden program. This is a way to get a raised bed with plants, soil, and instructions. It is free, but you have to sign up for it by January 14th. And it's a community garden plot that then you can work on with your neighbors. And then the third thing is the community gardens in the town where you live. So Plymouth, where I live, has started their online registration for community gardens. And I had one last year. So the month of January, I can sign up for that garden. February 1st, if you haven't had a garden and you live in Plymouth, you can sign up for a community garden. So those deadlines happen in the dead of winter. And they're things that as gardeners, we like to keep track of.
Yeah, and maybe we could briefly, before you leave us this morning, run those deadline dates down again.
Again,
I think
yes.
It's because I know we're going to get listeners wanting that information again. So great. In the meantime, I'm looking at other text questions that have come in. Here's another one, Mary. I have, Texas says, some little blue stem that has gotten knocked down by a snow pile. Should I cut it down in the spring? Blue stem.
Yes, if you cut back the dead tops on grasses in the spring, they rejuvenate, they grow faster, and it just gets rid of what's dead on top. Fire is a wonderful way to get rid of them. Of course, that's very impractical for us as homeowners, but I just take my hedge trimmers and cut back the tops. I like to leave the tops on through the winter, but then April, usually I cut the tops off and put them in the compost pile.
I was talking to our friend Teresa Rooney a couple of weeks ago about I had walked around the side of my house and I had planted a couple of years ago a Japanese yew and fenced it off, what I thought appropriately. But I think with the heavy snow and rain, some of this netting collapsed. And, of course, we have a million deer around here, and they had a buffet of that Japanese yew. Do those things ever come back?
Yes, sometimes they do. If they're healthy enough, I have seen them prune to the ground, total rejuvenation pruning, and they can come back. They have to be quite healthy. This morning, I was watching a rabbit eat one of my viburnums. I have a Triumph viburnum, and I was, and one of the big branches had come down on the ground, and I could see it was white. Where there was no more bark on it because the rabbit was sitting there eating all the bark. And I thought, okay, I would be cutting that off anyway because it's lying on the ground. So I didn't chase it away.
You just let it be.
I let it be. Enjoy the wildlife,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Oh, my. All right, here's our phone number. It's also our text number. We'd love to hear any kind of a garden question you may have. A lawn question is, of course, appropriate even in the winter. 651-461-9226. Mary, this one says, good morning. I have a lot of moss growing in my perennial bed. I like it in the back area, but if allowed to expand into the area with various things like a stilbee and hosta, will the moss choke out my plants? Is their first question. How do I control or get rid of the moss as it seems when I remove the green portion, it's back in a couple of weeks? What to do with moss, Mary?
Yeah, it's tough to get rid of moss, and usually that's an indication of low nutrients, sometimes poor drainage, poor air circulation, shadier conditions. I would say maybe think about planting a ground cover there that would really cover up the ground instead of having the moss there. So if you think of something like the perennial geraniums, we have some native geraniums. There are some non-native ones that are really low growing. They're just a few inches tall that you could plant there. That I would think about, different ground cover. Now, you can scrape scrape it off. You can remove as much as possible, but that's a continuing battle because it's any little a piece of moss that you leave there will just regenerate, as this texture has indicated. So I would think about putting in a ground cover there.
Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Another texter says, I know I hear you talking about our local garden centers, but I have a question about mail order plants and shrubs. Can that be a good idea, basically, is what they're asking. Is that trustworthy, they're asking? And again, we do have some great garden centers that I like to patronize. But what about some of these? I've never done that, these mail order things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done a lot of mail ordering, and usually what you're going to get is a bare root plant. And a bare root plant, yeah, it's a plant with roots and the top and nothing on it, no soil. It's totally dormant. And this is something usually you want to order that earlier in the year. I mean, you could put your order in now, and it would be shipped probably in April or May is when it would come to us. And it's dormant. The problem with bare root is you have to plant it right away, or at least put it in a bucket of water, put the roots in water, and then plant it. But bare root plants can really get a jump start. In some ways, they're very good. The other thing I would say is I would really read the catalog and see how old is this catalog, how long has it been around, this company, and what is their warranty on the plants. Many times they will only warrant that they're alive when you get them. And then if they die, you can't do anything, but others have a guarantee. And the other thing you need to do is take pictures of your plant when you get a bare root or a plant in the mail and it doesn't look good. Take a picture of it so you have a record of it. And as it's growing, you can take pictures as well. But yes, you can do that very successfully, get things through the mail.
But read the fine print. For sure.
Right, yes.
Yeah, as usual. Yeah. Let's grab a phone call this morning, Mary. Diane calling in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Diane. What is your question for Mary?
Hi. We just installed a 5-foot black chain link fence around the back of our yard because of a dog who wants to escape. And what we need is some visual blocking so that he can't see the rabbits and cats and squirrels on the other side of the fence. We're interested in both flower and vegetables. We've grown butternut squash successfully on tomato cages, so I'm wondering if that might be a good idea. But what suggestions would you have?
Oh, gosh, Diane, what a fun project. So, yeah, you might be able to train some of the squash on the fence and actually, have fun with that with cucumbers or winter squashes, even pumpkins. Of course, pumpkins get really, they're a vigorous vine, but that's just an idea, putting those on your fence. But yeah, some of the grasses that we talked about, little blue stem or prairie drop seed, and then the yellow prairie grass, that's 5 to 6 feet tall, so that's a much bigger one. But I would think about some pollinator plants like the goldenrod and asters that will bloom in the fall, as well as some other spring-blooming plants. You could even put in some bulbs. Of course, if they're tulips and things like that, they need to have been planted last fall. But I would think about something to flower year-round. But there are, mixing vegetables with flowers, edible landscaping, that is a big trend now. That is a very popular trend. So you can grow things like Swiss chard that has beautiful leaves to it in with your flowers as well. So there are lots of ideas for that. So I would recommend, you go to the extension.umn.edu website and look at the a plant database that's there, and you can put in the height of plants you want. I'm not sure how tall your fence is, but if you want something as tall as your fence, for, you know, 5 feet tall or 3 feet tall, you can put that height in there and then get lots of ideas. But I would think about something that flowers from springtime to fall for the pollinators as well.
That's some great suggestions. Yeah, and I've always, for our listeners, check out the university website, extension.umn.edu. Hang on, Mary. We'll we're up against a quick break here, but we have more texters to get answers. Maybe some phone calls, too. 651 is our number, 461-9226. We'll be right back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We're around every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us this morning. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering all of those lawn and garden questions. And Mary, we still have a few. Let's see. Here is one from a listener that said, we have a beautiful grove of mature cedar trees in the yard on our farm. This winter, oh yeah, it's kind of like my question, the deer have eaten all of the needles off the lower branches. Will those needles return, do you think?
Probably not. It really depends on how much light the lower branches get. But we have seen that at the arboretum, that the cedar, the arborvitae, tends to be a favorite of deer. And so they can really decimate the lower branches. You know, that's what they can reach. And that tends to be where there's less light for the plant. So if it's narrower up at the top, then needles can come back, but it's usually they won't because of the lower light there. So, yeah, that is just a co-living with deer is really a challenge.
Unless you can fence. Put
yes,
those
that's
barriers
right.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, put a barrier up, right.
Listener wants to know, Mary, are there any flowering plants or bushes that rabbits won't feed on?
we're always looking for those, aren't we? You know, they have things that they favor, things that they don't like as well. I did not really think viburnum, this viburnum where I saw the rabbit this morning, I have not had damage on that viburnum before. But, you know, wildlife get desperate. And different times of the year, they will eat anything. They've eaten my boxwood some years, which
really?
Is notoriously, yes, supposed to be very non-palatable for rabbits. But it's really hard. So if you have plants that you really want to protect, again, the barriers, some type of screening, netting, or fencing is what you have to use. Because if they're desperate and they can't get to anything, if everything is covered up with the snow or ice, they will start eating pretty much anything.
Listener wants to know, and you can help me with this, what is the paper white that does not have a bad odor? Tell me about that.
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. To me, most of the paper whites, these are a bulb. The spring flowering bulbs are the bulbs that forest so easily indoors, and we can often buy the bulbs. You can buy those at garden centers, and that is really a fun thing to do, but most of them have quite a pungent odor. There are some that are less less odorous, but I'd have to look that up, and then you'd have to find those in a garden center. Or you have to order those from an online bulb company that would say this doesn't have as much odor.
Okay, very good. Listener says, we did not trim our lilac. We have a lot of lilac questions over the last couple of years, haven't we? We did not trim our lilac bush down as it looks like it may be dead. I'm not sure, but it looks bad. At least I've seen a lot of questions that we've
Oh, yes, had. Yes, yes. Yes, so lilacs have suffered with a lot of leaf spot and new fungal diseases that have been a problem. And yes, if the branches are dead, you can cut it down. You know, we do rejuvenation pruning, renovation pruning at the arboretum on some of the old lilac hedges and actually cut them down to the base every I don't know, like 10 years or so. And then they grow back and they can grow beautifully. But that will only happen if the plant is really healthy and in good condition. So you could try that. If it's in a hedge, there's often the plants are so densely planted together, there's not good air drainage. So you can try taking out one or two of the plants, but that might ruin the look of your hedge. You might not want to do that. And if it's something where you need to replace it, you really want to think about an alternative like a viburnum or a totally different plant instead of a lilac.
All right. Is the community compost at various county sites safe to use? Lister wants to know. I keep thinking about those bad wiggly worms.
Oh, yes, the jumping worms. Is it safe? Well, the thing with municipal compost is those sites are big and they get hot and they do work well for composting, much more so than smaller sites like my compost pile. It's not in full sun and it never gets really as hot as it should to kill a lot of things. So, I would say it's kind of a risk. You could also talk to your parks or your city municipal folks that manage the compost site, see if they've had any experience with jumping worms. Jumping worms really are in the soil. And the municipal compost, like the one in Plymouth, they restrict what you bring in there. And mostly people are bringing in trees. Plants, you know, pruning from big stuff, the tops of plants. There's not much soil going into it. So depending on what's in there and how they manage it, but I would talk to your local city if you have concerns about that. But most times the jumping worms are coming in soil.
All right, very good. This texter, Mary, wants to know, what else can I grow in my strawberry pot besides herbs and strawberries, either shade or sun?
You can grow lots of different plants in there. Really, it's you could grow flowering plants in there. I would say most of you are limited by size, so it has to be something that's smaller, like maybe a marigold. Some of the shorter zinnias would work in there. As far as vegetables or fruits like a strawberry goes, yeah, strawberry is the only thing that comes to mind that is really small. There are some dwarf peppers. You could try a dwarf pepper. That might grow well in there. There are some dwarf tomatoes, but they usually get to be too big. But I guess I would look at the garden center for things that are dwarf or small. And Denny, I found online yes. Winter Sun or Galilee. These are paper whites that have less odor.
Oh,
Winter
you did some
Sun
research.
Or Galilee. But yeah, the question is, you can find those online. You can find the answers. But can you find those in the garden center or the catalog? So it's still a challenge.
Well, that's great. Thanks for following up on that. We're down to about the last 2 minutes or so, and quickly, this texter says we have two columnar Norway maples that got overwatered last summer to the point where the leaves were turning brown and curling up, the majority of the leaves. Can they come back, do you think, this spring?
They might come back. You know, you can look at the twigs themselves and see if they're pliable, if they're green underneath. But yes, hopefully they will come back and that a lot of that plant will still be alive.
I want to alert our listeners, something we do on the Car Care Show, if we don't follow up and have if we run out of time, which we are now, on some of these questions, Mary, I'm going to save these. And we'll open up the show with these questions and comments next Saturday. But I didn't want to forget that we have deadlines to talk about before we run out of time.
Yes, yeah, so the ProHort deadline, if you want to take the class, the Master Gardeners do, but don't want to volunteer, the ProHort deadline is coming up. That's tomorrow, January 11th. So go to the arboretum.umn.edu website for information about signing up for that online class. Garden in a Box, if you want to start a community garden or have a school or group of folks, neighbors that you want to garden together, Garden in a Box deadline is January 4th. 14th, and that gets you a raised bed in the summertime with soil plants and help with gardening for communities. And then check out your local city where you live for community garden plot signups, because those are usually right now in the wintertime.
And a couple of other things that we always like to leave listeners with: get to the Arboretum, right?
Oh, yeah. The Arboretum has a winter wellness fair on today. So you could check that out. A little tough walking with ice outside the Arboretum, but beautiful art displays inside. Wonderful place to have a meal, watch the birds, watch the turkeys outside the window at the Arboretum.
Absolutely. And if you haven't, if you've never checked out the university website, please do so. Some great information. There's so much information. extension.umn.edu. And yeah, if you've never been to the Arboretum, you go once, you will be returning. I know you will. And Mary, we hope you return here on the show as well.
Oh, I always love talking about gardening. It's a pleasure to do it. Pleasure to talk with you, Denny.
Thanks so much, Mary. I know we'll be talking soon. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Thanks, Mary.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing using boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.